You don't need to be the loudest voice to dominate in a game. Some people win things because they see things that other people don't. By adjusting, by tweaking, by refining, and no one in rugby league has done that better than Phil Gould. But is being a tinkerer the very thing that creates success or the thing that eventually limits it? Today we break down Gus through the lens of high performance, what he's mastered, where it's worked, what it might have cost him. And most importantly, what can you take from it and apply to your own life, whether you're an athlete, a coach, or leading in business? This is also a deeper look into something I've been tinkering with, the identity zone. Let's go. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality, find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. This year I've heard a number of journalists and people in the media talk about Phil Gould and the Bulldogs and talking about how he's tinkering, how he's continuing to try and find the right formula and having a fair influence on selections and signings, as you'd expect for the general manager. And it made me think about a couple of different things, and one of them is this concept of being the tinkerer. I do a lot of work around personalities, and I always love diving into looking at how people operate. It's something I've been fascinated with my whole life, about why people act the way they do and why some people can get along with some people and not others. And it led me down a path of doing a lot of work with around personalities and strengths and challenges for different people, and I've been doing a deep dive of that since about 2013, using different profiling tools and in the process of creating my own. And I want to tell you a little story about Gus the Tinkerer. So in 2011, he was put in charge of, became general manager at the Panthers. And we all know the story, 5-year plan. And he was going to build a plan that was going to deliver success to the Panthers within 5 years. Now, he may have got the timing off, but there is no doubt that the systems that he put in place have been a massive part of the success that they've had out there in the last 5-6 years. Now, he likes to tinker. He tinkered with the coaches. So 2011, wasn't long before he moved Matt Elliott on. And I remember there was an interview, and he said about his meeting with Matt Elliott. He said, I spoke to him, had a meeting with him, and I didn't really understand what he was trying to say. So there's obviously a personality, a communication mismatch there, because there's no doubt that Matt Elliott was a successful coach. He had some great years at the Raiders, and having spent some time with him personally in the last 12 months, he is, had him on the podcast. He's a very clever, articulate man who knows a lot about personal development, but also the game of rugby league. So there was some sort of mismatch there. So he gets in Ivan, as history will show. He saw something in him that would prove to be a successful formula. But what came next was some interesting things. And it was this tinkering and Gus having a fairly hands-on approach to the whole system. And without knowing the details, I imagine from what we've seen in more recent times that he was pretty hands-on with the whole coaching setup and how things were run. And of course, it's famous now that Gus got rid of Ivan Cleary in 2015 because he needed a rest, he said. Now, Ivan disputed this even at the time. So what, you sort of join the dots that he was effectively sacked. So more tinkering. He gets in Anthony Griffin, who has some pretty good success, and then Ivan ends up at the Tigers. Again, we know that story. He basically an ultimatum to the players. Get on the bus, otherwise on your way. And then Gus sacks Anthony Griffin with 4 weeks remaining in the season when they're in the top, well, they might have even been fifth or sixth. And this is the end of 2018, I think. Cam Serrato does a bit of coaching there for the Panthers into the final series where they win one and then they're bundled out. Again, amazing. Tinkering at that time of year, they had a relatively successful year, but Gus decides it's time to move on from their coach as they are 4 weeks out from the finals. It didn't make sense at the time, still struggling to make sense of it now. And they bow out after winning their first final, and then they bow out the second week of the finals. But then the Panthers approach Ivan to come back. The CEO has a conversation with him, gets him back. The opportunity for Ivan to coach his son, too good to refuse, of course. Like, who wouldn't want to do that? Although it does, as we've seen from some other father-son combinations, I'm thinking the Arthurs and the Flanagans, it doesn't always work out well. Nathan's obviously in a different class of player, which makes it easier. And not long into this new coaching reign for Ivan, he basically says, as Gus comes and tries to tinker more, he goes and gives the CEO an ultimatum, either Gus goes or I go, because he was having too much of an influence on what he was trying to do. Now, as history will show, Gus was moved on, Panthers go on to have an incredibly successful run, and yeah, the rest is history. Now, let's backpedal. When Gus went in there, because he's a technician. He's someone who he understands the game, as everyone mentions, better than most. I'm going to guess here, but based on this, I'm going to guess that he's more on the introverted side because he knows detail. He's more on the creative side because he has that ability to pull things apart and put them back together again into systems that work even better. So that combination of introvert and creativity means that he's able to go into a football club, which he's done at a number of clubs now, pull the whole thing apart and put it back together again in a much better way. So he puts in the pathways with the juniors and then builds out the whole system to a place of almost perfection that it now runs like clockwork, that the Panthers have had a great history now in the last 5 years of replenishing their squad from within with these amazing juniors. They've bought a couple of players, but really they're coming out of this amazing pathway system that Gus put together. But Gus still likes to tinker, and we've seen it again. Like he went in, had a brief stint at the Dragons. He was going to take a full-time job there, ends up at the Warriors. He was there for about 12 months and put a lot of things in place. Like, again, tinkered with some things, moved on a coach, and now they've got a system that's working well, and they look to be heading on a very much an upward trajectory with the amount of talented players they've got coming through, and now the same with the Bulldogs. He's putting these systems in place. So what you can't doubt is his success, and you can't doubt his ability to do these things in his ballpark. Where the challenge seems to happen is when the tinkering, which comes so naturally to him and is part of a success, becomes detrimental to the organization. And to me, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, I don't imagine that Gus is the sort of person that at his point in his life is going to be taking advice from someone like myself. And from what we've seen, his media persona, that in general he's pretty forthright and pretty set in what he thinks about different situations. Now, I also know that he has put a whole lot of really good people in place at the Bulldogs, and clearly they're working together in a capacity that's building something pretty special out there at Belmore. The gaps that are appearing still seems to be in what's happening on the field and maybe how much influence he's had. Now, whether that's happening or not, we don't know for sure, but that's the impression that you get given just how vocal he is and just how involved he seems to be with the running of the team. Now, the story's not to tell you about whether anyone's in the right or the wrong, but it's more just to get an understanding of, like, everyone has a natural way of performing. And the creative introvert is the master at improving systems because they see the big picture. They have this creative ability to look at the whole scenario. And because they're detail focus, systems focus, they can pull systems apart and they can put them back together. It's the sort of person who's a natural engineer, mechanic, same sort of thing. They can pull things apart, put them back together, whether that's physically, whether that's systems-wise, metaphorically, whatever it is. I remember working with a guy at Fox Sports who was brilliant at that, and that was the profile where he sat. And when we shifted some things around the team and getting him to realize just what a gift that was, but also to help him see where some of the challenges might lie, then we started to get the best out of him, but also help him to see where the areas where he didn't need to contribute because, like, it wasn't going to be the best for him and it wasn't going to be the best for the team. So to me, like, massive ticks for Ivan for basically having the courage to say, well, it's him or me. I mean, he obviously knew he was going to get another coaching job somewhere because he was well respected and he'd been sought out by the Tigers and he'd had a good run at the Warriors, and I'm sure he would have had other teams knocking down his door to coach. But he's like, well, I know what works and I want to do it my way, and so yeah, they went that direction. So I wonder now at the Dogs just how long before that same sort of thing comes to a head, or that Zeraldo and Gould and whoever else is there on the staff find a way to make it mesh in a way that they get success. And that will only happen when there's an understanding of each person's role, each person's differences, what they do well, what they do not so well, the challenges, because we all have amazing gifts in certain areas, but we also have gaps. Like, we're not everyone's perfect at everything. We can all do a bit of everything, but when it comes to where we're going to get the best results and what's going to be most beneficial to performance, well, then there's key areas where that's going to happen. Now, that creative introvert's kind of the opposite of side of the spectrum for me. I'm more of that emotional extrovert, so I'm more about the people connection and the conversations and bringing people together, the connector. And somewhere on that spectrum you're going to sit as well. And yeah, you may even, as you hear this story, you may even think of some other people in your life that are tinkerers. Sometimes they have workshops with a whole lot of different things in there that they've pulled apart, and maybe they're saving a part or something else for a time where they're going to tinker with something else and they need that particular thing. So it's not hoarding, it's just that they see that bigger picture, they see the vision, they see how different things will fit in different places. And yeah, so you might know people with those sort of garages or sheds where they love to tinker. Sometimes those tinkerers don't always get projects completed, which is why they seem to have a whole lot of things all over the place. That is the nature of that creative mind, that big picture thinker. And maybe then you get a bit of an understanding of where their skill set is. Now, they're not necessarily going to have great skills in connecting with people. And anyone who's listened to Phil Gould give opinions and different thoughts or have an argument, he's pretty much, this is how it is. And he doesn't always get his conversation across in that setting anyway, in a way that seems to be understood. Now, no doubt that he can still have great conversations with people and have a great connection, because there's a lot of people that have great relationships with him. It's not to say that he can't do that, but it's just where he gets the best results And to me, from everything I observed, it's that space, the technician, that ability to see the detail of how something works and be able to rebuild it so that it fits perfectly. So it will be interesting as a fan to watch how it all unfolds. Wouldn't surprise me at some point if he then takes up the reins at another club, and it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if we see tremendous success at the Bulldogs over the coming decade as the systems that Gus is putting in place come to fruition. And then we look at some of the other sort of characters in the NRL. It's almost like you need someone like Gus to go in there and build out the pathways, and then you need someone like Ivan to deliver, or maybe even Madge just to come in and break that premiership hoodoo. Someone who can come in and do a very specific job and again, do it their way, the way they want to. As always, thinking about how you can apply this to your life. Where are those places that you show up the best? Are you more that big picture, that more of that visionary thinker? Are you more emotional? Are you more into precision, into detail? Are you more a communicator, a collaborator? Or maybe a combination of those. And I'm sure there's some of you sitting there thinking, well, I can do all of those things. I'm good in all of those spaces. And I would challenge you to have a think about which are the areas, if I said to you tomorrow, you can only choose one or maximum two to spend your time, which ones would you choose? Which one's going to give you more energy? Now, I'll give you an example. I was really good at maths growing up and into high school, and I could do it. But then I get into corporate and I'm doing roles where I've got detail focus, and I couldn't work out why I was tired all the time. Now, I could do it, and I was really accurate, but it just wasn't energizing. But then as I went into more leadership roles and in more conversations, working more from a team perspective and with other big picture thinkers to sort of make things happen from that team perspective, suddenly I'm more energized, I'm getting better results, my career's progressing. Well, it's because, not because I couldn't do both of those areas, but because of one of them just helped me get better results because I was much better at it. So thinking about those four perspectives, whether it's more the introvert precision element, whether it's more the extrovert communication aspect, or maybe you're a combination and you're more of that big picture thinker. You're more in that innovation space, the creative big picture thinker, or more of that emotional place, more of that sensitive sensory area where maybe you can go. Maybe you can go between extrovert or introvert at different times. And that's where you're going to find your best performance, in one of those. Now, like I mentioned earlier on in this episode, I've been doing a fair bit of work in this space. I'm building out a profiling tool with all that I've learned from using other tools and everything I've joined and added along the way, everything I've connected, being that connected profile. And soon I will be releasing that. From a sports perspective, but also how it applies to every area of your life as well. For those of you who are listening here, you can obviously have some sort of sport background, sport interest, and even if you're coming at it from a business perspective, a work perspective, a family perspective, a coaching perspective, having that understanding of how you operate at your best, how you perform at your best, how you get the most consistency, how you have more flow, spend more time in the zone, is going to help you. And this system, this particular tool, is going to help you map that out in a way that covers you in all of those areas, but through that high-performance sporting lens, using language that you not only know, but you love, that you really can get yourself into. And that will be coming soon. I'm pretty sure at some point, maybe 6 months ago, I said I'd be finished in a month or two. I haven't progressed a lot since then. I've had a lot of personal things that have come up that have needed my attention, some other projects that have taken up time. So I won't be making any promises about the time frame, but I will say if this is something that you'd love to be part of from day one, let me know and I'll put you on the list. Whenever I launch anything like that, it'll come with an introductory offer where you'll be getting an opportunity to be one of my guinea pigs and at a reduced price as a way of thank you and like I said, to be that guinea pig. So I hope you've enjoyed this short story about Gus the Tinkerer and how maybe you can apply that to your life and maybe even just getting you a little bit curious about where you might sit on that spectrum and where you might get your best results. As always, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe, follow. If you're on Apple, leave a review. The more reviews we can get, the more people we can get in front of, the more we can create more positivity in the world through something that, in a way that only sport can. See you next time. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.